Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I'm so thrilled to have, we have a guest speaker here this morning, all the way from Jerusalem. He came all the way over here. He walked on water all the way from Jerusalem. That's what pastors do in Israel. They can walk on water. But this, listen, he's a great friend of mine as I continue to get to know him more. But Pastor Chad Holland is here. He's going to be sharing with us. And he began working in full-time ministry in 1999 in Maryland. And soon after, he became a senior leader of Brit Hadashah, which is a Messianic Jewish synagogue in Memphis. Then in 2014, Chad and his wife, Rebecca, along with their children, made Aliyah. They moved to Israel to make Jerusalem their new home and to step in as senior leaders of King of Kings community in Jerusalem, following the former senior pastor, Wayne Hilsden. We've been connected with King of Kings for many, many, many years. But Chad now operates both as a senior pastor of King of Kings, but also as the CEO of King of Kings Network and Ministry. Chad is passionate about this network because it exists, now hear this, it exists to advance God's kingdom in Israel and the nations by planting congregations, establishing training centers, creating business initiatives, fostering unity in the body, and birthing local serving ministries that share the Messiah's love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are so thrilled to have Pastor Chad here with us today as we've met. And I've asked him, listen, can you come and share and tell us what God is doing in Israel through the local church? And so he's going to be sharing that with us. But before Chad comes up, let's take a look at this video about King of Kings ministry.
Over 35 years ago, the exciting story of King of Kings Ministries began when God asked our co-founders, Jim Cantalone and Wayne Hilsden, to launch a small Bible study in one of their homes right here in the center of Jerusalem. And as that small Bible study quickly grew, we expanded into the local YMCA, where we began to focus on preaching the gospel, making disciples, and establishing small groups. And from there, King of Kings Community Jerusalem was birthed. We can hardly believe some of the exciting miracles that God has already done through King of Kings Ministries, especially this last 15 years as the Lord has asked us to accelerate the launching of congregations and ministries. King of Kings gets to work with 14 different congregations in Israel and around the world that speaks 6 different languages, as well as having established training centers, prayer centers, humanitarian aid centers, and marketplace ministries as well. Today, we are privileged to serve and work with over 40 ministries in the King of Kings family. We are wanting to continually stay at the center of all the miracles that God is doing, and we are thrilled at what God is going to ask us to do next.
Amen. Well, come on, let's welcome Pastor Chad to come and speak to us this morning. Come on, Pastor Chad. Great to have you.
Thank you, man. All right, Faith Bible Chapel, happy to be here with you this morning. Are you happy to be here with me? Wow, second service is better. For lots of reasons. One of them is I won't make as many mistakes this time. Praise the Lord. The second reason is apparently I'm preaching this morning on how to walk on water. I didn't know that, but now I'm going to tweak it a little bit to, that's not true. If you're watching online, that's not true. We're not going to talk about that. Do we love God this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. We love His Word. You know, I just want to say a big thank you as we get started this morning to Pastor Jason and Cheryl for having me and building relationship with us and our leadership team at King of Kings over the last few years. Kurt and Maggie Vetterling, of course, dear friends of ours. They used to serve with us in Jerusalem at King of Kings, and Pastor George and Cheryl as well, deep friends. We're so happy to get to partner with quality, just quality communities like Faith Bible Chapel. And every once in a while, I get a chance to come around and say thank you. And what am I saying thank you for? I'm saying thank you to all of you because you've been able to sow into what we're doing in Israel. You've given gifts. You've given volunteer groups. You've sent prayer teams over to us to help us serve and change things there in the land of Israel. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about why it's so important that we continue to do those things. But I did want you to know that we are grateful for all that you've done and sown into us. You've given, even most recently this year, Faith Bible Chapel gave us a very generous gift into our planting and our development fund that helped us to plant some new congregations this year. In the video you just saw, it speaks of about 14 congregations in the family that we've worked with so far. And there are two more. I just am happy to announce two more are coming. We launched one in April, and then we are looking at a brand new door the Lord has opened for us as the largest immigration wave right now of Jewish Israeli citizens coming in is the French community. The French community, that's a new one for us. And so we're beginning to prepare a French-speaking King of Kings congregation now just for the French speakers, because you have to minister to people in a way that they can hear. And as much as it's romantic to have the idea of only Hebrew-speaking congregations, which we do have many, or English-speaking congregations, do you understand that we're a young country? We're 70 years old in a modern state. The body of believers is only 35 years old that we can even track to the beginning. There's 8.5 million people in Israel and only about 15 to 17,000 believers. Come on, mathematicians in the room. That's not a good number. 1/5 of 1%. That makes Israel an unreached people group. You understand what we need? We need the Lord Yeshua Jesus to hit Israel again. That's what we need. There are cities in our country that don't even have congregations. I'm not saying they don't have good congregations. They don't even have a congregation. I would even take a bad one. They don't even have any. And you've been able to help us begin to expand that, get to cities that don't have it, get to cultures, get to languages that haven't even heard the gospel of Yeshua in their context yet, because we are a young immigrant country. And we know that the Lord has us connecting on those various levels. We have congregations in Hebrew, in English, in Arabic, in Amharic now, in German and Portuguese, and then French would be the next language congregation in addition to the cities that need a new birth there. So thank you so much, Faith Bible Chapel, your pastoral team, all of your elders, for how you've sown into the work that God is doing in Israel. And I'm going to say it this way, we simply could not do it without you. The finances don't work. The manpower doesn't work without you. And that's me being real with you this morning. We're going to dive into His Word. Who's ready for His Word today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel like we need His help for just a minute. Father, in the name of Yeshua, would you come? Holy Spirit, blow in this room. We're opening our hearts now. We're leaning into you, God. Whatever the distractions are, would you move them to the side for just a few minutes? Let there be nothing distracting us from hearing from you today. We want to leave here a changed person. Let our philosophies be changed today if needed. Let our heart be changed today if needed. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. I would like to let you know that we were going to pass out flyers and business cards so that you can connect with what we're doing in Israel, but First Service swallowed up all of them. I guess that's good news. But when I get done here in just a few minutes, they're going to put up a website and we can give you some instructions on how to connect there. First verse today, Yeshua says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It doesn't say that most people come to the Father, but the Jewish people come a different way. It's not what it says. I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me. The way is narrow, it's not wide. The Bible is very clear, it's very specific, it's open to everyone. But the way in is very narrow. It's very specific in what we're called to do. And when we're called to preach the gospel, to bring the light of Yeshua to the world, we get this instruction in the Bible that says we are to go to the Jew first. And sometimes that statement can sound somewhat offensive to us if we're not Jewish. Why should we have this in the Bible? Are the Jews more special than us? Are they more important than us? Have they done something that we haven't done? After all, don't we all come to the Lord in the same way? So why then do we go to the Jew first? Why is that the instruction? Because God needs and always uses an entry point when he sends a message. The Bible is full of patterns like this, and we know that when God created the earth and put Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave Adam the dominion of the garden to name the animals and to lead the earth. Adam was the first among those that would learn about the realities of God. Adam was chosen, you could say, to Adam first and then to the rest of creation. Or you could say, in the new world after the flood, God's word had come to Noah. You know what I mean? In Genesis chapter 10, it starts to lay out the instructions that Noah were to share with the rest of his children in the new world. And you could say to Noah first and then to the rest of the new world. You want to follow this pattern? You can see Abraham was to introduce God's idea of covenant relationships, that he really did want to relate with mankind. He didn't want to be a creator that just stood far away. You could say to Abraham first and then to his descendants. Or you could say to Moses first, here's the law. Teach my people about the law of God. Teach the Levites. The Levites teach the people. And in the same way, you can say to the Jew first and then to the rest of the world, right? Because there's an entry point. You say, Pastor Chad, I'm tracking with you. I follow the pattern. I see what you're trying to do there. But there still is a twinge inside of me when you say to the Jew first, somehow I feel less than important. Don't feel less than important. Because after all, that same strategy could be applied to you. The gospel came to you first, didn't it? Is there anybody in the room this morning that has family members that are not believers yet? Anybody have friends at work that aren't believers yet? Anybody have children, grown children, that are not believers yet? You see, there's a lot of hands that have gone up in different categories, and in that scenario, you can now understand that the gospel came to you first. And it's now your job to take that gospel to those that don't know Yeshua. That's the same thing with the Jews. God needed and used an entry point of communication. We're not saying this morning that the Jewish people of the nation of Israel are more important than other peoples or nations. We love all nations. For God so loved the Jews that he gave his only begotten son. That's not what it says. For God so loved the entire world that he gave his son. But he needed an entry point for this communication, and he chose the Jewish people. What was their calling? What was their chosenness? You ever heard that term, God's chosen people? Can I just see a show of hands? Have you ever heard that term? The Jewish people are God's chosen people. Good, you've heard that term. You know, it's not a name tag that we wear around in Israel. You know, we don't put it on the back of our jerseys. All you sports fans, hey, we are the chosen people, so we just decided to put it on our jersey. Our new Nike shoes, we just put it on the side of our new shoes, chosen people. Chosen people is not a name tag. It's not a title. It's not on the back of your jersey. It's a job description. Chosen for a reason. Chosen to do something. Chosen to be step one in the communication steps so that the world can hear about the realities of God's salvation. But it's just step one. There are other steps. You say, What was their calling? To bring the light of God's reality to the world. That was the Jewish people's chosenness. That was their calling. You say, Pastor Chad, that sounds a lot like the calling of the New Covenant believer too. How is that unique from what we do? We all come to Yeshua in the same way. We all live according to the lordship of our Messiah. We all live according to the kingdom life principles. How come the Jewish people get this chosenness? Doesn't that make them arrogant? Well, the Lord took care of that for us. He built a system by which none of us could be arrogant. Amen? And many of us have understood in the New Covenant age, in the New Testament age, that we are invited into God's family. We are adopted into God's family. I often say this to the King of Kings community and to all of our leaders, that the true message of Yeshua's salvation is an invitation. It's an individual invitation to join the corporate family of God. Individual invitation to join the family of God, not individual invitation to join your own kingdom. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about all of the world finding our Lord. And when you say yes to Yeshua, you say yes to all of us. My apologies for that. Some of us are easier to get along with, like Pastor Jason. Some of us are not as easy to get along with, right here. I understand. You ever see somebody who makes a great first impression? That's not me. I just owned it a long time ago. I just embraced it. I'm just going to hug people the first time I meet them and just say, listen, work your way through it. Bear with me. It'll kick in about a couple of weeks from now. I promise. Trust me. It gets better. I have to tell my congregation that all the time when we have visitors. Welcome to King of Kings. I promise it gets better. I promise. Hang in there with us. We're called to the same gospel. We're called to do similar things. But we're all adopted into God's family. Let me go to the scriptures, Romans chapter 8. Speaking of the Gentile believers in the New Testament, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. A few verses later, verse 23 of Romans 8, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Now, this is not a new concept to most of us. If you're a believer or a Christian in the room, that's probably not new to you, that you were adopted into God's family. But just so that you don't get insecure that God loves the Jews more than you, you should understand what he said about the Jewish people too. Romans chapter 9, verse 4, speaking specifically to the Jews. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the sake of my own people. That's Paul talking. Those of my own race, that's the Jewish race, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Pastor Chad, did you just tell me that the Jews were adopted? Yes. You know, that gets by a lot of people. The Jews are our adopted brothers. We have come into the family of God together through Yeshua. There's only one way. And you say, well, what about the unbelievers? What if there's Jewish people who don't believe yet? Do they need Yeshua? Yes, they do. They need Yeshua just as much as the Gentiles who don't know him need him as well. And yet, the humility and the lack of arrogance comes from the idea that we were both adopted. They were adopted in step one, in this opening phase of communication, so that we could all understand. They became the mouthpiece. The chosenness was the mouthpiece of bringing God's reality to the rest of the world. You say, Pastor Chad, you've been very narrow in your scriptures this morning. You've only stayed in the book of Romans. Well, let's try another one, Galatians 4, verse 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his own son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, the Jewish people, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You say, Paul had a lot of trials. He'd been in jail. He'd been beaten. He'd been left for dead twice. By the time Galatians is written, maybe he's not thinking clearly. Maybe there's something going wrong in his head. You don't like the book of Galatians. Well, let's try Ephesians. Let's see what that says. Chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Yeshua the Messiah in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It was his will that he would adopt the Jewish people first, welcoming them into covenant. Some said yes to that covenant, and some did not. And then it was his will to adopt the rest of us and welcome us into his family. Some of us said yes, and some of us said no. Are the Jewish people greater? Actually, the reason God chose them is the opposite of that. If you read the scriptures in Leviticus clearly, it says, I did not choose you, Israel, because you were so mighty, because you were so numerous, and because you were so strong. I actually chose you because you were weak. You couldn't do anything on your own, and you needed me. The chosenness wasn't because they were so much better. The chosenness was because God knew he would receive the glory for working through a weak and feeble people. They were the first step in communicating God's heart for the rest of the world. Distinctive value, write that down. It's a very key theological word, and I don't want to get you too mixed up in deep theology this morning, but I think that that is a foundational phrase that you need to understand before we move forward. Distinctive value means you can have two partners that are equal, but they do two different things. They're equally valuable. Two partners in a company, let's say, equally valuable. I love sports, so I go to sports analogies a lot. Can you imagine on a baseball team if one of our positions was missing? You know, you think the second baseman's not that important until he's not there. And then you have little 12 hopper ground balls that go through to the outfield for base hits. Because we could be equally valuable. The second baseman is as valuable as the shortstop or the pitcher. But they play different positions. A husband and a wife have distinctive value. They're of equal value in the family, but they serve different roles according to God. The parents and the children, equal in value, but they serve different roles in the kingdom of God. Even your congregation, your leaders and your elders and your directors and your coordinators and your worship team and your servants and all that do children's ministry, equal in value. If any of them are missing, we feel it big time. Equal in value, but different and distinct in roles. We call that distinctive value. And the Jewish people carry that distinctive value. They were called for a reason. They have a great commission. You might say, what do you mean they have a great commission? I thought we had a great commission. Well, listen, I'm gonna talk about something for just a minute, and I want you to hear me on two sides of the coin. I'm gonna tell you the original context of the Great Commission. I'm gonna be drawing a boundary around it. And I'm doing that for definition and context. I'm not doing that to kick us out of the Great Commission, okay? Just understand my motive here. I just want you to see the context. Whereas the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, it does apply to all of us, but understand the original context. I want to read it to you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Yeshua came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now you say, but that's a great commission for all of us. I agree, it is for all of us. But the original context is that he's speaking to his Jewish disciples. He's saying to the Jew first, this is your job description. Now take my message to the rest of the world. That was your job as far back as Abraham, as far back as Noah, as far back as Moses. Take this message to the rest of the world. So actually, the Great Commission that we know of, which is common to quote, is the Great Commission of the Jewish people first. It's not the Great Commission to the Christian church first. It's the commission to the Jewish people. Now, we adopted it. We certainly connect with it. It certainly speaks to us. We need to embrace it. We need to work in it. But you understand the context in which it was given was to the Jew first. Well, you might say, well, again, Pastor Chad, you are making me feel left out. I don't like this feeling that you keep talking about. I don't want you to be left out. God has taken care of the arrogance. We've already dealt with that. God has taken care of the distinctive value that we all carry together. We've already dealt with that. And God has taken care of a great commission that is specifically spoken of to the Gentile believers. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible has a great commission just for the non-Jewish believers? A lot of people didn't know that. I surveyed a lot of people. Very few people even realized that. I want to read you a couple of verses that help us to define this a little bit. Look in Romans chapter 10. This is the great commission to the Gentile believers. Verse 16 to 19. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about the Messiah. But I ask, did they, the Jewish people, not hear? Well, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the world, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And there it was. There was the clarity of the Gentile believers' great commission. Did you catch it? It's quick. It's right there at that last verse. He says to the Jewish people that have not come to the Messiah, I will make you envious by a people who are not even a nation. Do you understand he's talking about us this morning? That verse is talking about us. You are now in the Bible. You just found yourself in the New Testament. We as New Covenant believers are not a nation, but we are a people. We are forced to be reckoned with in the earth. And there's a great end times harvest coming that we've never seen the numbers like this before. It's coming, prophetically, it's coming. But there is a great commission to the Gentile believers as well. It's to provoke the Jews to jealousy of their God. I'll follow that up in the next chapter. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 and 12 says it this way. Again, I ask, did they, Israel, stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? Did you understand what that just said to us? It just said, Gentile believers, your primary job is to make the Jewish people jealous about their God. That's your job. That's your great commission. Now, that seems narrow. I understand. When I read it, it seems narrow. It seems like, why do we only focus on the Jewish people? Well, first of all, we need to take away the word only. We don't only focus on the Jewish people, but we focus on the Jewish people first. It's just step one in the rest of world missions, right? You understand that? As we preach the gospel. But here is the promise. If we will do what God said, if we as Gentile believers will fulfill the great Gentile commission as well as the great commission overall, the promise is in the last verse. But rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? What that means is this. When the gospel first came to the Jews, when Yeshua himself came to the Jews, some of them said yes, and a majority of them said no. And when they said no, that rejection released the gospel into the rest of the world. You are here today because you heard the message of Yeshua, because the Jewish people as a majority rejected him. Not all of them. There's always a faithful remnant. But as a majority, they rejected the Lord, which brought the message to you. You have salvation today because of that rejection. And listen to it this way. If that rejection brought good fruit, this room is full of good fruit today. If that rejection brought good fruit, imagine what will happen when the Jewish people say yes. If when they said no, it meant great things, imagine what it will be when they say yes to the gospel. And the Bible says, when they say yes to the gospel, it will be life from the dead for the rest of the world. Life from the dead means something is dead. Now, you can put your own spin on what is dead. The lost, the nations, the church. Something is dead that has to be resurrected. Amen? And it only gets resurrected because the Jewish people come to faith. The world doesn't know Messiah until the Jewish people come to faith, because they are step one in the communication channel. We're not talking about value. We are all equally valuable. But there's a distinctive value to the Jews. There's a distinctive calling to the Jews. We're both adopted as sons and daughters. There is no favoritism one way or the other. We're both engrafted into the same vine and the same root system, the same olive tree. We understand that. And yet, if we want the greatest revival that the world has ever known, the last harvest before the Messiah returns, if we want that, if we have a heart for world missions, it starts with the Jews first. Now, that can be a weird thing for me to try to sell, right? Because it sounds self-serving, right? Like, I'm over there in Israel, and we're better than everybody, and you should partner with us, because after all, we have the key, and we unlock everything. And I mean, I get it. I get that message sounds horrible coming from someone who just came from Jerusalem. And yet, that message is the reason I went to Jerusalem. That message for all of your loved ones, all of the ones you've been interceding for, all of the ones that you want to see come to faith, the message we're talking about today is this: as you sow into the Jewish people coming to faith, it unlocks world revival. And I didn't say it. God said to the Jew first. And that's something that we have to struggle with. We have to wrestle with. I think I've tried to give you a few tools this morning, a few verses, a few pieces that you can understand that there's not a value competition here. There's a commission for both of us. We're both working together for the salvation of the world. But God set it up in a way that meant to the Jew first. Faith Bible Chapel, you have been faithful. You have given. You've given financially. And we are so grateful for how you've partnered with us. In lots of ways. You've been faithful to pray for us. You've been faithful to send groups. You've been faithful to send volunteers. We have internships open. I gave you the stats already. 1/5 of 1% believe in Yeshua the Messiah. We're an unreached people group. Would you help us reach these people? Because if you will help us reach the people of Israel, the people of Israel reach the rest of the planet. Because that was their chosenness to bring the realities of God to the rest of the world. The King of Kings family of ministries is made up of congregations we plant and adopt. It's made up of prayer houses. It's made up of training centers for leaders. And it's made up of humanitarian aid ministries and marketplace ministries. We're trying to get in every aspect of Israeli life that we can, so that we can preach the gospel and let people see the reality of God's love through us. The message tonight that Pastor Jason and I talked about, we're going to love the Jewish community as they come in here. They're coming into your house. Can I say they're coming into our house? Can I say that? I'm part of the family, right? We're coming into our house tonight. And we're going to love them. And when they say, why do you love us? We can say something like this: because of God's faithfulness to the Israeli and the Jewish people. It has encouraged us that he's faithful to us. That God has preserved his people through the centuries when everybody wanted them dead, because of a covenant promise. And because he was faithful to them, he's been faithful to us. He was faithful to them even when they said no. Just like he was faithful to you when you said no. And he was patient with them until they said yes. Just like he was faithful with us until we said yes. And it's because of the hope we see in God's faithfulness to Israel that we have encouragement today. And we can say that to them. We love you because you give us hope. in God's faithfulness. Go ahead and put that on the screen, if you could, the website, so they can go. If God is stirring your heart today to connect with us in any way, through prayer, volunteering, internships, groups, sewing in, the easiest way just to find a little bit more about what we do is go to kkm.network, King of Kings Ministries. Network, and it'll tell you all about the family of ministries, what our mission statement is, and then you can click on any of the congregations, see what they're up to. You can click on any of the ministries and see what they're up to, and you just might find a place for yourself there. You just might find something to pray about. You just might find a new point of intercession that the Lord is calling you to. We want to plant new congregations in cities that don't have any. We want to plant congregations in languages that haven't heard the message in an understandable way. We're asking for your help to do that. Can we pray together? Would you stand? Just want to speak a blessing over you today. It's been an honor to be with you so far, and we have a big day ahead of us. If we can just open our hearts for a moment as we close this portion. God, I speak a blessing over Faith Bible Chapel, its entire leadership team, Pastor Jason and Cheryl. That this is a community that gets it. That they have a heart for the world, but we understand that there's an order to the process. God, we thank you for great partners. We're asking today that if there was any insecurity in the house, that the insecurity is gone. If we thought we were disconnected from the people of Israel, we pray that there's a new connection. Holy Spirit, if Israel only existed in our life in the Bible, we ask you to open up new revelation about what we're doing today. Please use us to fulfill the great commission to the Gentiles in Romans chapter 10 and 11, that we would love the Jewish people until they were envious and jealous about their own God, that they would come to faith and unleash the anointing of evangelism to the rest of the world. And we usher in that great harvest of the end of the age. Would you use us, God? Can you use us? Can you use us, such small, feeble people, to change the world? This morning, we stand here with enough audacity to say, yes, it can be done. If you could use the 12 disciples to do it, with only 3 years of training, you can certainly use us in this room. We speak that blessing over this house. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for letting me be with you this morning.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.